The Pat Kenny Show.
With the Jaguar E-Pace. Beautiful by design and dynamic to drive. Delivering performance that is unmistakably Jaguar.
This is News Talk.
Fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy night.
To infinity and beyond.
I just love finding new places to wear diamonds.
I could have been a contender. I could have been somebody.
There's no place like home.
Life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
Now it is time to go behind the scenes of another movie classic, and it's a good one this week.
If Abilene uses the guest bath, I'm sure she uses yours too.
She does not.
Wouldn't you rather them take their business outside?
Have y'all seen the cover of Love this week? Jackie's never looked more regal.
Tell Raleigh every penny he spends on a college bathroom, he'll get back in spades when y'all sell. Ugh, it's just plain dangerous. They carry different diseases than we do. A pass. That's why I've drafted the Home Health Sanitation Initiative.
The what?
A disease preventative bill that requires every white home to have a separate bathroom for the colored help. It's been endorsed by the White Citizens Council.
Maybe we should just build you a bathroom outside, Hilly.
You ought not to joke about the colored situation. I'll do whatever it takes to protect our children. Your lead, Elizabeth.
This week's movie is the 2011 period drama The Help, which nearly didn't get made. Television producer with Mind the Gap Films, Bill Hughes, is on the line. Bill, good morning to you.
Good morning, Jonathan. Yeah, it's a goodie this morning.
Isn't it just? And I have to say, what a timely film to rewatch, given everything that we've witnessed and heard about in the last few weeks, to remind ourselves of how far America has indeed come in the last few decades. But it wasn't picked up by agents straight away.
No, 60 agents turned it down. 60. So the writer, Catherine Stockett, was at the end of her tether. And then, luckily, she found an agent who believed in it. And meanwhile, her friend, her childhood friend, who also grew up in Mississippi and knew the territory of the book really well, had grown up with a black maid, and as everybody did at that time. And he visited her in New York. She gave him the galleys of the book. On the plane home after a weekend with her, he started reading it and it blew his mind. And he said, I have to turn this into a film. But the trouble was, he was very unknown at that time. He had only made one very low budget film for $800,000 and he had done a short. Now, the low budget film he had done with Alison Janney, who at the time was riding high as CJ in West Wing. So everybody loved her. And she encouraged him. But he scraped together $10,000 to buy the screen rights from Catherine. But the friends and family and the agent and everybody was against that. They thought they'd get a lot more. But it was when Catherine talked to Tate about what his idea was to make the film, she agreed. She took the $10,000. He almost went bust from raising the $10,000 because he didn't have it. But he set off on a journey with his small minicam, and he created a mini documentary by driving to right through Mississippi and meeting a lot of black maids and asking them about their experiences. And he cut together a mini documentary. He also started working on the script. And when he got a chance to get in the room with the big boys, and that all came as a result of a small movie he was in that became the hit in Sundance. So that then had a knock-on effect that the door opened and he was able to get into a room with Chris Columbus. Chris Columbus loved it. Chris Columbus, the famous producer, took it to Spielberg. Spielberg liked it. But it just was so many shenanigans to get it right. Like when Tate Taylor first pitched it to Chris Columbus, he gave him a copy of the book and he gave him a second copy for his wife. Which was very clever because Chris Columbus didn't read it, but his wife did. And his wife said, you'd be crazy not to make this film.
There was a lot of effort went in there, didn't it? Just look, when it came to casting it then, because there was such a build-up to it to get the film financed, then the one thing that had to be right was the cast. You couldn't put a step wrong given the subject matter that we were dealing with.
Exactly. And the big thing was getting the black maids right. And so luckily, Tate Taylor at college had been roommates with Octavia Spencer, who at the time was relatively, she was relatively unknown, had done some small character pieces in TV series stuff. Anyway, she came on board, but Alison Janney came on board. And with the two of them, he then started approaching people. But the key character of Skeeter, who is a young woman who wants to tell the story of the black maids in the deep south, and she's white. And she wants to tell this story. So she's key in the movie. And they offered it to every young leading actress in Hollywood, who all turned it down, including Anne Hathaway. And then by chance, Tate Taylor got a chance to have a drink with this new actress, Emma Stone, who was just emerging. And he pitched it to her and she came on board. Now, they wanted Viola Davis to be the lead, Abilene. And there was a misunderstanding because dates were confused and the wrong people were talking to the wrong people and the diaries were not matched up. But Viola Davis was committed to do Fences on Broadway, the play. Subsequently, she made the film and won the Oscar for that, but with Denzel Washington. But anyway, when they got it all sorted out, Viola Davis came on board and then they assembled the most incredible ensemble cast, Jessica Chastain, Bryce Dallas Howard, and Emma Stone. And it just was an extraordinary piece of luck. And the budget, DreamWorks did not want to trust this young fellow with $25 million. So Spielberg said, the only way we're going to give you the money is if Chris Columbus is on the set every day. And Chris Columbus at that stage had come so far over to believe in the project that he said, OK, he would do it. But it was way below his pay grade. And anyway, for the $25 million investment, it ended up taking $216 million at the box office with four Oscar nominations and one Oscar win. Octavia Spencer, as Minnie, won the Oscar as Best Supporting Actress. And it was also nominated for Best Film. So.
Yeah, and it was one of the finest decisions of any Oscar committee in recent years. Let's play this clip. We'll talk about the movie in more detail, but here's another clip from The Help.
Maybe we need us some insurance. I told God I'd never speak of it again. We ain't got no choice.
Sorry.
I need to tell y'all about the terrible, awful I done to Miss Hilly. It might be the only thing to keep us safe.
So, nobody wanted to hire a sass-mouthing, thieving Negro, did they?
As good as always, Minnie.
I'm glad you like it.
Now, that's the scene with the cake, Bill. And if you've seen the movie, you'll be recoiling ever so slightly. But it's a brilliant scene played very well by the actors in question.
Yeah, the character of Hilly is played by Bryce Dallas Howard. And she is a screaming racist. And Minnie, Octavia Spencer, is the black maid to Hilly's mother, played by Sissy Spacek, who is a really decent woman who is now suffering from dementia. And Hilly fires Minnie for using the upstairs bathroom because the help are supposed to go in the shed in the garden. None of them are supposed to use it. And it's just disgusting. But anyway, she fires Minnie on that basis. And Minnie comes back with a pie because she's famed for her pies. But in keeping with Minnie's revenge, she has put some of her own poop in the chocolate pie. And so when Hilly is luxuriating over the pie and going, God, you haven't lost your touch. And Minnie says, yeah, I use some Mexican vanilla. That kind of stuff. The woman has no, but everybody in the cinema is like screaming, going no. So now when you watch it, it's just fantastic. But in hindsight, Viola Davis looked back on the film and thought she regretted being part of it, because she felt that the emphasis in the end film was portraying the white savior thing, you know, that the white people in the film saved the black people, and but that wasn't really the message. It was Viola in her and she's so entitled to feel that, because you can these days. But the film was a massive step forward for what we are now seeing is Black Lives Matter, and absolutely, for the division in American society. But it's just so powerful. It stands up to repeated viewing. It's really, really strong. I would recommend it to anybody who wants to know what's going on in America at the moment.
Absolutely. It contextualizes everything perfectly. Whatever take you have on it. Bill, I have to finish up. Ennio Morricone, we're so sad on Monday that he came through. 200 films he scored. What a loss. What a legacy.
Yeah, well, 70 of the movies that he scored were award-winning, major awards. So, I mean, he must have had shelves that were coming down with awards. But that didn't matter to him, because he lived a relatively humble, obscure life in Italy. He visited Hollywood a couple of times, but he had no intention of living there. And yet he wrote some of the most iconic tracks. Like, when you think of movie soundtracks and you think of composers, there are two people that immediately spring to mind. One is John Williams and the other is Ennio Morricone. Like, they're the ones that really do it for you. And Ennio Morricone, what a magnificent talent. What an extraordinary breadth of work. 500 soundtracks in all, across film, television, drama series, all sorts of stuff. He never stopped working. He was absolutely prolific.
And if you had to pick
91
one, Bill,
years of age. Yeah.
If you had to pick one, I mean, mine is The Mission. But if you had to pick one, what was your favourite?
I think Once Upon a Time in the West. Not Once Upon a Time in America. Once Upon a Time in the West. One of the spaghetti westerns with Claudia Cardinale in it. And there's a haunting main theme that I just adore. But I do love The Mission as well. So
there's so many to choose from. Absolutely. Bill Hughes, television producer with Mind the Gap Films. Pleasure as always. And you'll be back talking to Pat again next week. Thank you for joining us, Bill. Jonathan Ealy in for Pat Kenny this week.